My name is Michaela Jordan Murray from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Friday, April 15th. Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 10 a.m. It's time for the Global Go-Go Show, this week with tracks from Sophie Tucker, R.D. Berman, and Joni Hostrup, among others. And Jared Wiggishud is live from WGXC's Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street for 2 hours after the local news with the Sugar Shack Jukebox. Data Cult Audio is on at 2 p.m. We've got new music at 3 p.m. And then at 4 p.m., the WGXC Afternoon Show is live from Acra. At 6 p.m., the Clubhouse Radio Show with teens talking about their issues and playing their music is live from Main Street in Catskill. And then at 7 p.m., we're going to hear different teens on the Bound by Books show with Georgia Jassy, Jada Pernetti, Fatah Janat, Mashuda Sultana, and Emily Ortiz on the radio at 7 p.m. 7:30 p.m. it's time for Counterspin, and at 8 p.m. we go live to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where Reckless Eric and Scout Gillett perform.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Graham. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics, a poll released April 12th by Unite New York and conducted by John Zogby Strategies, found voters do care about who fills the lieutenant governor's job. The poll was released the same day that Brian Benjamin resigned from the office hours after he was indicted on charges of bribery and fraud stemming from an unsuccessful campaign for New York City comptroller. The poll found 88% of participants believe the lieutenant governor should have the, and I quote, readiness to lead immediately, end quote, as the most important trait. Benjamin had been expected to compete in a Democratic primary for lieutenant governor in June against activist Anna Maria Archilla and former New York City council member Diane Rayner. It is not clear if Governor Kathy Hochul will select a replacement for Benjamin in the office or if Democrats will be able to replace him on the statewide ballot ahead of the June primary. State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins is currently serving as lieutenant governor in an acting capacity. On the Republican side, the poll found that U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin is at 27.8%. Former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino is at 15.2% and Harry Wilson at 10.5% of support. The poll found that former Trump administration official Andrew Giuliani is in a virtual tie with Zeldin at 29.1%. The poll of the GOP primary was conducted April 10th and has a margin of error of 6.1 percentage points. Read the poll story at NY State of Politics. Rachel Silverstein is reporting for the Times Union. A provision in the newly adopted New York State budget was crafted to transform the school transportation sector, requiring all school buses purchased after 2027 to run on electricity and replacing all 50,000 diesel-fueled buses statewide with electric vehicles by 2035. Environmental activists applauded the move, but educational leaders and school officials warned that making the goals will be financially and logistically challenging. In the coming years, districts will have to install charging stations and possibly remove their electrical infrastructure and bus routes to support the new fleets. Brian Chechnicki, executive director of the Association of School Business Officials, said it is the first in a series of state and federal mandates targeting school districts to help governments reach their environmental goals. He said, and I quote, "These are all things that we, as advocates and schools, will need to be mindful of. Remember, the more you have to spend in these areas, the less you have to spend on teachers and academic programming," end quote. The 2022-23 state spending plan infused the Clean Water, Clean Air, and Green Jobs Environmental Bond Act with $500 million to support electric school buses and charging infrastructure. Studies show numerous benefits to going electric. Diesel fuel has been shown to worsen respiratory illness and cause cancer. Electric buses have 70% lower greenhouse gas emissions than diesel buses, which benefits the environment and results in cleaner air for everyone, according to advocates. Bethlehem Central School District last year became one of the first in the state to start the process of swapping out its diesel buses with battery-run vehicles. The district secured $1 million in funding from the state to supplement the purchase of 5 electric buses. Read the full story in the Times Union. Charlie Lazinski is reporting for State House News Service. Tuition at all University of Massachusetts campuses will increase this fall for the first time in 3 years. The UMass Board of Directors voted 12-2 on April 13th to approve a package of tuition and fee hikes first proposed at a committee meeting last week. Two student trustees, Derek Hull of UMass Lowell and Narcisse Kunda of UMass Dartmouth, cast the only dissenting votes. Tens of thousands of in-state undergraduate students at Mass face a 2.5% tuition hike for the 2022-23 academic year, or between $346 and $395 more annually, as well as increases in room and board costs ranging from 1.9% to 3.9%. Out-of-state undergraduates are looking at similar tuition increases next year, as do all graduate students at the Amherst, Boston, and Lowell campuses. UMass suspended annual tuition increases on its 4 non-medical campuses for each of the past 2 years during the COVID-19 pandemic. UMass President Marty Meehan estimated the tuition freeze resulted in about $32 million in foregone revenue. Meehan said seeking another tuition freeze would not be sustainable in the current economic climate. Officials argued that the average 2.5% tuition increase is significantly lower than the current inflation rate of 8.5%. Meehan said students will collectively share nearly $1 billion in financial aid from federal, state, and UMass sources. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, April 14th. Early morning temperature ranges pretty even, 58 degrees in Hunter to 60 in Stockport. At a depth of 2 inches, regional soil temperature is 47 degrees. And it's going to be quite spring-like today. A high of 80 is expected at 2 p.m., then a 2-hour storm period with rain tapering off after dark. Overnight, we see a low of 44 degrees. Tomorrow is looking dry and cool with a high of 68 around 4 p.m. and afternoon wind gusts. Good kite flying weather. Temperatures cool overnight to a low happening just after dawn on Saturday, hitting 48 degrees. Then the day turns rainy and we get a high of 59. A slightly alarming 35 degrees overnight takes us into a dry Sunday with a high of 49. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:02 a.m., low tide at 8:24 a.m., high tide again at 2:10 p.m., and low tide once again at 8:51 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 49 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:20 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:13 a.m. Looking way up, we see a couple equatorially located coronal holes are releasing plasma streams due to collide with Earth on Sunday. So the wind speed is currently 462 kilometers per second at 8.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4 unsettled. The current sunspot number is 37. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
We're going to hear some Nilsson shortly as we open our show. Where is Cela Graham? Oh, where can she be? Bum 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 bum. Here we go.
Why I did not go to work today? Thursday is such a crazy, lazy day. Thursday has its own peculiar way of saying hey. Sometimes Thursday almost makes you want to run away. Thursday is such a crazy, lazy day. Yeah, Thursday is such a crazy, lazy day. Let's go have a picnic. Thursday is such a crazy, lazy day. Hope it doesn't rain. When I'm feeling Thursday, I go and have a drink. If Thursday was a boat, I bet it'd sink. I did on Monday, I tried it on Tuesday. Wednesday's simply not my cup of tea. Thank heaven it's Friday. Thank the Lord for the weekend. Thursday, now that's such a crazy, lazy day. They say Monday's child is full of faith. Tuesday's child is fair of faith. Thursday's child has far to go. And it's no wonder when the week becomes a red race. You can bet win, show or plays. But never bet on Thursday, cause God's not on his case. Thursday is such a crazy, lazy day. Don't get me wrong, it's just that Thursday's twice as long as it should be. It's twice as long. Mondays, Tuesdays, weekends, Fridays, don't get in my way. But Thursday is just a crazy, lazy day. Monday is a blues day. That goes for Tuesday. Wednesday's just the middle of the week. Friday's just another payday. The weekend's just another heyday. But Thursday's surreptitiously that's why I didn't go to work today. Thursday's got its own peculiar way of saying it. Sometimes Thursday makes you want to run away. Thursday's such a crazy, lazy day.
Thursday's such a crazy, lazy day. Singing Thursday, it can mean only one thing here at WGX. It's the Thursday afternoon show. And I have a terrible mic that keeps going in and out, but that's okay. I'll get it fixed here. Yeah, that's right. Oh, jeez. It's a Thursday afternoon show, and I'm your host, Tommy D. Cela G. is somewhere in the county, no doubt. We'll hear from her shortly, I hope. She is, you know, my peripatetic co-host, so we never know where she'll be at any given time, moment on the show. However, big however, you do know it's the you know, it's almost the end of tax season, and of course, in one of her many, she's a serial entrepreneur, as many of you know, and of course, taxes are due shortly, and so she's probably hard at work doing that. But I'm sure she'll show up at some point, and you know, all the better, so we can all be surprised by her wonderful presence on the Thursday afternoon show here on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill. And by the way, like last week, we have posted a link. You know, we do this show for now through Zoom, and I have an announcement about that, sort of. But as long as we're on Zoom, you're welcome to join the Zoom. And the way you can join is to go to the WGXC website, and there you will find the link. That's right, the link to this show. You can be on this show right now if you just go find that link. Link on. I think you can get in. I'll let you in if you can't get in easily, and we'll talk. I don't care what it's, who you are or what it's about, as long as you keep it clean, because we do have some rules determined by the FCC, and it's before 10 o'clock in the evening when you can start cursing. Ooh. What else? Oh, one of the things I wanted to mention is I'm hoping now that the weather seems to finally be there. We were going to maybe even do it today, but there was the forecast of rain. We're going to take this show on the road again. And by the road, I have to admit, I mainly mean the streets of Hudson. Maybe someday we'll get to some other communities. Excuse me. Oof. But that's a harder haul for us, coordinating it all. And there's, you know, if somebody could point out locations where there's a lot of foot traffic, that's the key. Because if you've listened to our outdoor shows before, last year we had the Summerfest, the Warren Street Summerfest of the Thursday afternoon show. And we made our way up and down the street on the street at tables talking to people walking by. But it doesn't work, of course, if there's no one there to talk to. So if you can recommend places that you think would be a good location, please do. And, you know, you can text me. How about that? 914, write this down now. Get out your pens and pencils or whatever it is you use to write things down. 914-584-5373. And look who's here. Oh, wait, make that noise you make. Go ahead.
I'm not going to make it because you're there begging already.
Oh, please, just come on. Please.
No.
Wah, wah.
That's close. No. No, how's it going?
No. Wah, wah.
No. Oh, come on.
I think you're tone deaf.
Yeah, I do have some problems that way. Okay, that's nice. You know.
Is it the geezerism in you?
Oh, man. Well, maybe it is, okay?
Okay.
I'm not as young as you.
Hi, guys. This is Cela Graham.
Oh,
Cela,
yeah.
G.
In case you didn't hear my long introduction.
I didn't. Sorry. Okay.
Cela G. Are you still?
Tommy D.
You're in your home office. I assume you're working on tax returns.
You know this, man. It is a heavy lift, folks. It is a heavy lift. All I can say is show some love to your tax preparer.
And you could do that, folks, by paying in cash. No. Oh. Oh. That would be fun. Help your tax preparer. that's funny. If I say so myself. Yeah, right? No, but I'm sure, you know, at least show up with a check and make sure that check doesn't bounce.
That's a fact.
No, we can't.
Actually, just show up with cash.
We can't really talk that way because you can't. Really
no.
We can't talk about the person. You know,
hold on 1 minute, Tom.
Yep.
Hi.
Who are you talking to? Ashes up. Okay. No, I got to take that back. We can't promote her business. Sorry. And right now she doesn't want more business anyway, probably. Where was I? Oh, so we're going to take it back on the road next week, I hope. And oh,
you want to go outside? You want to go outside?
Yeah, starting next week. And I've been soliciting locations other than Warren
Street. Oh, boy.
Well,
yay,
you're the one.
Time.
You're
we're going to go to Cafe Mutton.
Oh, that's definitely one. Yeah, good, good, good. Now, I was saying even out of town if we had to. But, yeah, let's hit East Columbia, Cafe Mutton in front of there. Yeah, do you know them by any chance?
Yeah. So yeah, Bettina and her partner Shayna.
Can I rely on you to talk to them, or must I go over?
I would want to scare them off, so yeah, I'll do the introduction.
What makes it? You know, I've never eaten there, so yeah, I would scare them off. I don't know. Every time,
it's just your kind of food, though.
You think
it's like
so?
They go back. Cafe Mutton goes back to the way people should eat. You know.
Mm-hmm. That's funny because every time I see on Instagram what they're serving, it's like a lot of heavy stuff. Like,
you think it's heavy?
Yeah, a lot of like potatoes and gravy.
You're supposed to eat potatoes. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right. Okay. Listen, if I could eat a roast sweet potato every day, I'd be a happy girl.
No, I agree with you about sweet potatoes, but not regular potatoes. I don't eat much. No, it's just, yeah. No, they're not like heavy into the, whatever. That I see a lot of sausages, a lot of stuff like that. No, you know, that's, they had blood sausage once, didn't they?
They had morcilla? Oh, my goodness.
Excuse me. I call it blood sausage.
Oh, and then people also call it the black pudding, will you, mate?
Yeah, yeah. What's that word you use, though? I didn't catch it.
Morcilla?
What's that? Is that?
That's Luis' favorite dish.
Oh, it's Spanish.
No. Luis hates it.
Oh, I was going to say.
He worked on a pig farm.
I was going to say.
He worked on a pig farm. He's like, hell no.
Blood.
You know how he knows how it's made. Can you tell us on the air how it's made? Yeah. Hold on, Tom.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Tom?
Yes?
All right, tell them how it's made.
Big intestine, rice, and blood from the same pig.
Oh, God.
No seasoning?
Oh, and a lot of seasoning.
Well, you'd need a lot of seasoning, right? Oh, that is so gross. I mean, I don't want to. I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum here. Oh, it must be
don't
wonderful.
Don't yuck anybody's yum. There's people that turn up. There's people that turn up for that.
Yeah.
It's actually a staple. It's in the English breakfast staple, right?
Well, that's
part
what.
Of the English breakfast
and paper. Irish, because I know at an Irish pub, they were big on where I used to hang out. They had it often, and that's where I first tried it. Now, granted, it was an Irish pub where they cooked things to death. So it was this little hockey puck. This little.
Hello?
It was this little black hockey puck, and it tastes. I just was like, oh my God, what the heck is this? But if you're a fan of blood sausages, feel free to join the show. And like I said, you can also text the show at 914-584-5373. 914-584-5373. And the link to join us on Zoom is on the WGXC website, wgxc.org. Sheila, we're going to go hit the streets again next week, which should be lots of fun because we love doing that. We're not DJs. We are programmers of the people. So we get out there, right?
Ooh.
Oh, please make the noise, please.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Be quiet.
Okay.
God, it takes a lot of energy to make this noise.
Okay.
Hold on.
Oh my God! It rang for wow. That is amazing. It sounds just like
listen. When Luis and I get this Tesla we're going to get, that's one of the rings. I'm gonna set that up for when we pass by your house.
Yeah, okay. I deserve it. Yeah. What else do I have to report on? Not a hell of a lot. So your week, you know, the weather's been much better, so my spirits are up. How about you? Well, you've been indoors probably.
I've been indoors, but I also work, you know, like, I think that's the reason why this tax season for me has dragged a lot because I'm quick. I'm not like slow, but I'm like quick with it. I like to chew through things and like get things done. I like to, you know, I'm like a little Sherlock too. When things don't make sense, I like to dig it up and look for it.
Mm.
So I like taxes in that way. But, you know, for me, what takes a lot of time is the fact that I'm spread really thin. And I started to realize that even though I like to be a serial entrepreneur, they have to kind of have some synergies. They can't be like all wonky like they are right now, which they are a little bit, and it kind of pulls on me.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I think I told you once, my father used to do tax preparation, and at one point he got me to help him. This is like 35 years ago, 40 years ago. And, of course, then it was all done, you know, hand or typing.
On paper.
On paper, yeah.
Jesus.
So I assume.
With a pencil.
Yeah, you do all yours online, right?
I do, but you know, there's some parts of it that can't be, you can't like expect the software to do everything. So like, if you're going to put in, for instance, you have a home office and you're going to say you want to deduct your home office and you don't want to do the simplified method because you want to take off more stuff. Like you want to take off mortgage interest and you want to take off your utilities, you know, like, so now you have to figure out what is the percentage of your home office compared to the rest of your home. Right.
Right.
Like if you have a 15,000 square foot home, 1500 square foot home, and your office space is 250, you've got to do that math to figure out what that percentage is. And then you got to use that percentage to cut into all of those bills to figure out how much of that is actually attributed to your home office.
Yeah. I know somebody does.
I sound like a geek.
No. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's not geeky because especially in Hudson where we have a lot of people with home offices and a lot of people. I mean, one of my best friends who's a writer was deducting his home office. And of course, you know, the IRS thinks, oh, writer, they don't, whatever. And, of course, he got audited. But he had done all that, so he had it all down, you know, all those calculations. When I heard about it, I was like, forget it, man. I would never – what a pain in the butt that all is. And then, of course –
You don't run. You don't shy away from, like, work, because, Tom, you're a common council president. You're getting, you're getting flipped all day by the bird and all this other stuff.
You're so funny. You're so sweet to say that. but, yes, I avoid as much work as possible. I didn't want to go into it, but yeah, it could be, it's a lot of work though to deal with the IRS. I know that much. Anyway, so that's what you're up to partly. And, the council, just to talk about it very quickly, as you know, I don't really like talking about local politics on this show, but, things are going pretty well, actually. Things have calmed down a bit. I got at least half the council now actually wants to do stuff. Now, that's saying a lot in the sense that what they want to do and what you can do are two different things. And you know, sometimes it takes a while for council members to understand that. But here's the thing. I have a new mantra that I want to tell all people in local government and local whatever. It's very simple. Humility. Do not come in thinking you know everything and you have the answers to everything. Just be humble. Your ideas are welcome always, but, you know, you got to be humble about it because, you know, believe it or not, a lot of the things that you've thought about, other people have thought about. And that's not to say they're bad. It's just to say that they might be hard to execute. So it's a real tough haul. You know, it's not as simple as saying, oh, I got the solution.
Right.
You know, I mean, I love walking down Warren Street. People stop me constantly. And you can imagine now you probably are surprised by that, but I actually enjoy it. And, but they constantly stop me with their ideas for the city. And I listen to everything and I consider everything, but I have yet to hear really an original idea, even though they're great ideas that none of them really have ever been.
Are you kidding me? You've not heard any original ideas in all the years. You're such a jaded person.
Lent's almost over. No. I'll pull that back. Maybe I've heard some original ideas. No, I take it back. But let's say the majority. And then the other thing is how some of them have really nothing to do with Hudson, you know? Like somebody, I'm trying to think what somebody said to me the other day. Oh.
You should have a book about that. You can write a book about the things that I get told.
Yeah, right.
You know, and just kind of go on.
I know, right?
I want 10%. You decided that I need 10%.
Hey, that's illegal.
That's right. No, it's not.
Somebody told me, though, about how we need to build, we should build a parking lot, three-story parking lot, because it's a gold mine. You'll make tons of money. Well, yeah, okay. But you know what? Research in the past proved that building a parking lot is very expensive, and it takes
cement.
Right. It's a lot of, and especially building anything right now is difficult, as you probably know.
I just have to say, all the movies that I've watched,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not a huge, like, criminal sci-fi or even scary movie person, but those kind of parking lots to me all give me bad vibes. Bro.
I agree with you. I agree. They're like, and it's not just there's a couple really horrible ones with the first version of Hannibal Lecter. A really creepy parking lot scene. But, yeah, those things are scary because, you know, if you're in there alone, golly. So they're not – they bring their own problems, among other things. But they're also very expensive to build. And, you know, it's not like people in this city haven't thought that we need another parking lot or two around town. But the way this was presented to me is like somebody can make a bundle, you know, and it's like, yeah.
You know, I don't think that's true, but I think it's more like, it's not like it even creates jobs. You get like two people working two shifts.
Right.
And, you know, it's a blight. I don't agree.
Well, obviously I don't either. You're right. It is a blight. I mean, especially if you want to put it near where it's most needed, which is Warren Street. Who wants a big, ugly parking lot near Warren Street? Nobody. Or at least I don't. I wouldn't. And I.
Or they'll be all considering they put in a residential area. Yeah, right. Bring down the property value.
Right, right.
You know?
I mean, there's potential for more parking perhaps down by the railroad, but there's a lot of parking there that's unused.
Oh,
even.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. And I would say that people should just start getting used. If they're from the city all the way anyway,
yeah.
They're mostly jumping on the train. And if you're coming up from the city, you should be used to walking anyway. You should be parking
right?
it down there at Amtrak, giving them those
yep.
little coins,
yep.
and you should be walking the city through.
There you go.
It's 8 blocks. It's 8 blocks.
There you go. There you go.
There you go.
You should run things.
You know, I think about that a lot, but I realize
I was baiting you. I knew you'd say something.
No,
like that.
No. I run things in my house, and it's not a fun job. You know.
Yeah.
Because when you run
things,
actually, what you're actually doing, saying to someone, you can boss me around. I'm gonna get it done, but you have to boss me. The mayor gets bossed around. I don't care what anybody says.
Oof.
We're his constituents.
I know, and he has to hear it from everybody. And you know, he sits in his office. Oh, my gosh, I got a lot of gas today. He sits in his office all day and fields phone calls that are just sometimes completely out of this world. And then, believe it or not, he gets people walking in. There's no real way for to.
What do you mean? Like there's no appointment schedule? There's no diary for him?
Well,
office?
There should be, and there is, but some people just show up, believe it or not. And let's put it this way, they're not the easiest people to deal with. They're not scary.
I gotta tell you, what I would do in my office, I could go two ways. Mm-hmm. I guess if the person's a bad person, they're gonna look to the left a lot, because in criminal justice, you're taught that people who are lying to you are being, you know, like underhanded. They tend to look to the left.
Yeah.
So to the left, I would have a bunch of mob scene type posters of like the Goodfellas when they were putting Little Nicky into the ground. I'd have a bunch of those. And for the person that's a good person but is just a pain.
Oh my gosh.
I would have. Like a bunch of articles on, you know, like the straws, what the straws are being doing to the turtles. Like a bunch of things that are huge things, like the oil in the ocean. So that when they come with their problem and you look at that, really, you're going to really talk about something? Now, what are you going to talk about?
That's
so either way, you're cutting it. I'm cutting them down.
There you go. I'm gonna.
Mayor free to take that.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna tell him that. I will tell him that. who knows? Maybe he's even listening for all we know. He has listened before. To my surprise. But again, everybody, I mean, when anybody proves that they're listening, it's always a surprise to me. Because, I think I might have an actual text message from someone. Let's check this out. Oh, no. Oh. Oops. No, it's not about that. By the way, if you want to text me about anything, it's 914-584-5373. If you want to be on the show right now or during the next 2 hours or hour and a half, go to the WGXC.org website, and there's a link, and you can join us on Zoom. And if we like you, we'll even let you stay on the Zoom with us for a while. No, I'm kidding. We like pretty much everybody. That's the new mantra here. It's no yucking of yums. Right? I'm not even going to say nasty things about blood sausage.
Really?
Well... trying.
Mm. All right, whatever.
Well, you don't
need
it, obviously.
It's a plate steak. It's a national dish in England, so we can't.
I know. But, you know, the English and the Irish, they just don't know how to eat.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's
there
not,
you go. There you go, bro. Like, you know how to make a good beer, though. You know how to make a good beer.
Hey. Well, that's, there you go. Good beer. There you go. They made a good beer. And gin. They're big on gin. In England.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. They drink a lot of gin.
What gin? What gin is it?
Let's see. Booth's is British. And what else is British? There's a couple of... Oh, Gordon's. And there might be a couple others. I don't remember. But they're big on gin. And gin was a huge problem at one point in England. Because it was...
Wasn't it all over the world because it was prohibition? What do you mean?
No, I'm talking about it, where it was really prominent in England. It was cheap as it was cheaper than beer at one point. And,
really?
Yeah, and people were... There was massive alcoholism at one point.
Yeah, I bet you there was a lot of dialysis, too. My goodness.
Boy, did you see that statistic about dialysis and COVID?
No, sir. Tell me.
I get it from the New York Times, whatever people may think about the New York Times. Of the people who died from COVID, 40% had diabetes.
Well, dialysis doesn't have anything to do with diabetes.
I'm sorry. You're right. I don't know why I said, duh. My mistake. Wow. Sorry.
And your daughter's a doctor. I guess she gets it from her mother. Clearly, it's not from the phone.
You're right. Dialysis is kidney failure. I know that much. But you're right. I don't know why I said, because I've been obsessed with this figure. Because I figure I don't have diabetes, so at least I got 40% of the death thing covered.
Okay. If you think that way.
Well, yeah, because I'm a very obsessive and nervous person that way. I've been having this skin rash that I'm convinced is somehow related to what we're in.
COVID. Yeah.
It's either something. It's got to be the inoculations. Since the vaccines, I've had 3 doses, and I can't think of. I mean, I tried everything. I changed. I rewashed all my clothes with a.
I'm going to ask you if you've done this one thing, and you tell me.
Uh oh.
It's. I don't know. I don't want to say it because I know how hot it is. I'm going to say it.
Yeah. What, crystals?
Did you get rid of Sparky for a week or two? It could be Sparky.
Yeah, but why suddenly? I mean, I had Sparky for 2 years and nothing. And then suddenly.
Right. I mean, it's almost like saying, I grew up my whole life without allergies, and all of a sudden I'm an adult and I have allergies.
You're
why
right.
now?
It does happen. It
Things
does happen.
Build up, my friend.
Yeah, you're right. It does. It could be. Oh, that was. Oh, man. You know what? It's not really hurting me, so I'll live with it. If it is Sparky.
You're the indoor. That's
for Sparky?
Yeah.
You kidding me? Me and that boy? Look at him. He's lying here dead tired. Because I took him to the dog park today. And
I know why you really have Sparky. You guys want to know why Tom really has Sparky? And Tom's not going to interject and say this is not true, but I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay, here we go.
There was a time where Tom would always be in places where... Hold on 1 minute. Hi.
Yep. Oh, I can't wait to find out this story.
I did that to you on purpose, but anyway... So Tom was in places where, you know, he had flatulence.
Ah!
He's not a dog. You can just say, Sparky, damn it.
It's funny you mention that because the other day, every time he eats off of the regular diet, my office here was just like unbearable. I mean, boy, is he flatulent that day. You could tie it into why there's a porta potty on my front lawn.
Is there?
Yeah, you saw that.
No.
Yeah, it's because my...
Oh, you know, on your lawn. I'm thinking of your stoop.
Yeah.
Okay,
on the front lawn because, you know, that's where I have to go because my wife doesn't like me in the house.
Lies.
I know. It's for the guys working around the area. But it fits in. To your fake news about me and blaming everything on Sparky. The funniest thing, speaking of which, my mother-in-law... who was British and fairly formal person. I was over their house once, and she had a cat on her lap. And suddenly, she started waving in her lap and making this funny face. And it was clear the cat had just farted on her lap. And it was just so unlike her to, like, even acknowledge such a thing. But I guess it was just so, you know, what are you going to do? It stinks. I don't really ever... recall the cat's flatulence. Hey, by the way, do you read the Registered Star?
I see a copy of it when I go to some stores. I read the front cover. Sometimes I dive a little deeper. Sometimes people share stuff on Facebook or Instagram. You know, so I get it a little bit. You know.
Okay.
Why?
Well, being a geezer, I of course get the hard copy, which is what we call it now. In my day, we would say I get the paper. You know, the physical paper. And there's a great op-ed piece by our mayor, an open letter to the city of Hudson, everybody should read because it's a good.
You should read it now, Tom. You're a good guy. Read
it's
it now.
Long. It's really long. I'll read this one thing.
Read the part that moves you. There you go.
Okay. There is no way we could have come as far as we have without the help of Common Council President Tom D.P. Oh, wait. I don't want to read that part.
Unbelievable. Do you folks see the narcissist here?
Oh, God, yes. I do.
You see the glowing narcissist?
Meanwhile, the paper has their own editorial saying, retire the concrete barriers.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know.
I love it.
I know. We need more of this. This craziness about barriers and closing streets. Boy, did that make my... Oh, there you go. I will talk about this. So, late Friday night, I get a call from a friend saying, what's going on? Why are you voting on closing down the street? I said, what? Just like that. I said, what? We're not doing anything of the sort. There's nothing on the agenda, nothing being voted on. So I just, put that aside. And then the next day, someone posts on Facebook about how they're going to vote at the next meeting on closing down the streets and blah, 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 blah. Totally full of misinformation. I'm freaking out.
A lot of misinformation.
A lot of misinformation. So then the emails start and more calls happen. I mean, my whole weekend was taken up.
That was on purpose. That was on purpose.
Yeah, right.
And whoever did that is a genius. It's a genius.
Yeah, right. To ruin my weekend?
No, but that's how you get stuff done. You got to get ahead of it. You know, this is what they say in the news and society, too. Go what?
Yeah, but getting ahead of something that doesn't exist.
No. The potential that we don't know. See, the thing is, when you feel powerless and you felt like you've done everything you can do to change a situation and it doesn't change, you become enraged and then you start to do this thing called offense, right?
Uh-huh.
So in the offense play, what I would have done is exactly what they did. Is when you don't want something to come out or something to happen, you've got to get in front of it somehow. So you create propaganda. You say they're going to do it again this year. Because when it came out of nowhere last time, they didn't know. So you say they're going to do it again this year. We've got to start this process now. We have to make sure we shut it down at the root. I don't blame them.
Wow.
I don't want you to, but...
No, you're schooling me here. You're right. I mean, I can see what you're saying, and it worked. It certainly worked because the first thing I did at the meeting was to say,
"See,
there's nothing going on. Please stop. There's nothing going on. There's no."
They want to just be reassured. They want to know that this year the streets are going to be exactly how they planned them to be. They want to be predictable, and they want to know. They want to be in the know. Without having to go to one of your dry ass meetings. Sorry.
Oh, whoa. Dry ass. Did you say dry ass? Did you call my meetings dry ass? You can say ass.
No.
You can say ass. My dry ass meetings.
No, but
I know what you're saying.
You don't provide candy, snacks, popcorn. Nobody gets up and slaps nobody. It's like, what are you there for?
Oh, let's not get into that. or else we'll be both going back to our. Never
shit,
mind.
He still won the award even after he slapped somebody, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, right? They didn't take it away either. So,
but they banned him for 10 years. They banned him for 10 years.
Yeah, I saw that. But, you have a point. To get ahead of something, sometimes you have to, I just don't like the idea of, making up shit, though.
What are we going? We're popping off today.
See, you started making up stuff.
Oh, yeah, right.
Sorry,
yeah,
folks. Right. Sorry,
listen,
FCC. Sorry, Galen and Tom. If you get fined,
OMG.
I'll pay.
Tommy will pay it.
Yeah. Oh, geez, no.
Okay.
I don't know how much they charge. It might be a lot of money.
Did you get a chance to read the podcast I suggested to you yesterday? Yes. Not yesterday, last week.
No, I didn't. But right.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I meant to.
But you're right.
But I forgot the name.
If I gave you a book, you'd have been like all over it.
That's true. What's the name of it again?
How predictable you are.
I mean, I looked it up when we were on the air. What was the name of it?
You didn't look at it because that guy Gladwell is a part of it. That's how you.
Oh, good point. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You got a point there.
I see through. I see through, baby. See through.
You're right. I'm not a Malcolm Gladwell fan. That is correct. But
what does it matter anyway if you are or aren't? I mean,
it doesn't. Oh, to him, nothing. He's a multimillionaire from his work. Kidding me? He couldn't give a.
Is that
hoop.
Why you're jelly? Are you jelly?
Oh, is that what you're saying? No, I'm not jelly. Well, yeah.
Oh, I gotta ask because I'm sure.
Yeah,
it's something that people speculate on.
Of course, anybody who tries to be a writer of any kind envies somebody who's wildly successful. On the other hand, he came up much more rigorously as a journalist, so he really has a deeper, hardworking background in all these things. It's not so much literary as real journalism. He worked for the Washington Post as a journalist. He pounded.
So do you think that he's good? you just don't like it, but he's good. I mean, because you don't have to necessarily like somebody that's good.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. No, I think some of it's good. Some of it I think is very superficial and misleading. Yes, I don't think he's good at some things. But what does that matter? Yeah. Who cares what
it
I
doesn't
think?
Matter. Right. It's still going to sell, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's or what, not. I don't know.
Not only that, but what I've read, you know, he gives speeches to, you know, corporations and stuff like that, and he really cleans up at those events.
Well, to be a consultant, to be an advisor, yeah, to right. have people think that whatever you know, if they can get a little potion of it, they can get a little sample of it.
Exactly.
They're going to have the same luck.
It's amazing. That is isn't it amazing? Yeah. The business world will latch on to things that, like, the rest of the world thinks are kind of commonplace and obvious. Excuse me. And, you know, they're so desperate for kind of thinking of any kind.
Ooh, that if,
well, yeah, I mean, there's been books all around. I mean, there have been very successful business books that if you read them, they're not really that complex. And they're not really, you know, like saying something totally new. I mean,
right.
Which is why that the most famous one from, I guess, the 40s, I think, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie is still out there because it just says a lot of common sense type of stuff, you know?
Is it though? Because, I mean, someone told me, well, in a podcast I listened to, mm-hmm. which I kind of knew already, they said that, you know, like the easiest game to play is 21, blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, they would say that they would disagree. You know, I guess it all depends on your temperament and mm-hmm. if you like long games versus short games and, you know, mm-hmm. all these other factors. But I think it's a lot of it is relative. I mean, you know, like people say yeah. Rich Dad Poor Dad was a great book. And a lot of people reference that book.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
In the entrepreneurial world, you know.
Oh, really?
And there's some people there's some people that just don't relate to it. They just can't relate to it. Hi.
But then you look at all the entrepreneurs who, you know, love Atlas Shrugged and all the Ayn Rand stuff. And what she says is pretty commonplace, you know. Although she puts it in a lot of words. Her books are mammoth. Yeah, I don't know. I'm coughing a lot today. Excuse me.
I notice. You know, I don't think that you have to put a lot. You don't have to have a 15-page book to be successful. Look at Donald mm-hmm. Goins. He's able to make magic out of, what is it, 300 pages?
Yeah.
He's able to wheel that story. He doesn't even hold back. It's almost like he's
sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying some of these books aren't very long. I mean, some of the popular, you know, how-to books and business, there are a lot out there. And, you know, I haven't read many of them because I'm not in business. And I don't really care what they say. But sometimes I look into them just to see if, like, when I hear that one's popular with the business community, I kind of dip into it and think, what are they getting out of this? What are they learning? What is it, more often than not, what is it confirming that they already think and now have somebody smarter than them, you know, demonstrating it further or something like that?
Well, it's always so. It's also how you give a thing, right? Like I learned a long time ago that as a kid, I couldn't listen to everybody.
Yeah.
Especially people I didn't think I wanted to listen to, right?
Well, there
so
you
if
go.
A person's giving you some advice, some people say a doctor is very successful, not because of his education or even how he looks, but particularly because he's a doctor or how he doles it out, right?
Sure.
Some people like stuff piecemeal, and a doctor can pretty much figure out how you like stuff and your learning curve. And if they're intuitive enough, they can figure out how to get you to take and do pretty much anything.
Oh yeah. I mean, when I think of back to my mother,
right.
Who, you know, was only, you know, went through high school, and she worshiped doctors. She would do whatever they said, even when they were in conflict with each other. You know, she didn't get it. She thought they were, you know, the final word on everything, every ache and ailment she ever had.
And I think, you know, part of that is too, is depending on how much attention she got, whatever she was getting from them, it was enough to satisfy.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
And it wasn't until she was older and we could step in that we realized she had this, like, huge amount of medications and
no reason.
There was no reason. A lot of them were in conflict or unnecessary, covered by a different medic. It was like, because she went to so many different doctors, which happens, who don't really communicate as much as they, you know, when you had a general practitioner that did most of your work, they saw everything. Now it's not so much that way anymore. So you got different doctors, specialists requiring you to take things, and they're not always checking every other doctor's recommendation.
I agree with you. Sometimes right? there's, what is it called? It's not side effects. It's called, the medications collide.
Contraindications?
Something like that.
And she had tons
I
of that.
I think that happens too in business, and it happens in a lot of educational worlds. And mm-hmm. even with politics, even. I think a lot of times people think that they're the only one out there that's doing stuff, and they forget that if you collaborate, you can get further than if you're just swinging it out there by yourself.
Were you there when I was making this little speech earlier on about humility?
Where were you?
I don't think you were here yet.
No.
I was saying my new mantra for local politics is, if you get involved, if you get interested, humility. Come in assuming that what you're thinking other people may have thought of before. If you have good new ideas, be humble in how you present them. Don't come in like a freight train and knock everybody over and tell them they're all wrong and you got the final answer. I mean, you know that now from what you've been in politics of a sort with the school board, so you know how it goes. Oh, and you were on the tourism board. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I was on the tourism board as well. But you know, that those experiences were two very different ones, because even though we were both volunteering our time and we weren't getting paid for any of it, I felt like the intentions of why people sat were different.
It creates
a backstory for why, for with people's agendas and their energy and, you know, because you never really know what you're going to get.
That's right.
And because the referencing was coming from two different places, the mayor's office was giving some references, and then you were giving references. You guys had two different ideas as to what you felt the quality of that board should be. So it was a little interesting mix. I think you guys did a great job in your references, but you know, like, not everything can be that seamless.
Yeah, and I imagine on the school board there's built-in conflict as well, or maybe not.
It's not conflict. It's just like.
Difference of opinion.
And it's not dueling. It's not, yeah, it's just like we all come from a place, and our experiences and our you know, our culture and our backgrounds, you know, kind of dictate that force in a way. But, you know, we want to come to a place of being able to be receiving, as also as to be giving in a way that's clear and transparent. So,
yeah.
And respectful. You know, you want to do that, because if you don't do that, you're going to find that you have the odd man out. And when you're an odd man out on a board,
It's stupid. Oh, it's very frustrating. That's how I feel with. There's a board I'm on that I don't even go into.
Don't name names.
Right. There's a couple of us that. I mean, me in particular. I'm the odd man out, and a couple others who sympathize with me, but they don't speak up that much. But that's okay. It's very frustrating, and to sit through those meetings is extremely painful. But you know.
Hello. My name is Darren. I'm calling to set up a tow for a customer in
Catskill,
New York.
Uh-oh. We can hear you.
Going to Preston.
Blip, 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 blip. You don't want to give information. Okay. See, that is what our serial entrepreneur is like. I can't go into detail, but that was another one of her family businesses. Actually, her partner, her fiancé, Luis. Notice how I call him your fiancé now.
Yes, you do.
Has a towing business, and that, I believe that was an appointment for that.
Yeah, it was. Give me a second. I'm going to put you on hold. Keep talking. It's radio. It's radio. You got to talk.
Yeah, of course. And I never know when you're going to disappear. You're like.
You never know, baby. I'm the wild card.
What was that show? Oh, Bewitched, when the aunt would show up out of the blue.
I love that.
Oh, my God. There she is. And poor Darren was like, oh, my God, not her again. What was her name? Elizabeth? No, Elizabeth Montgomery was the wife, whose name I can't remember right now, but it was a classic actress. Darn, it'll come to me. Anyway, so there you have it. Let's not talk about politics anymore, but like I say, there's little things that are worth sharing, like the notion of being humble. I mean, you know, humility is a good thing in all. Agnes Moorhead, Endora, that was her name. And Elizabeth Montgomery's name was Samantha, of course. It was Samantha Stevens. Agnes Moorhead, who appeared in many, many great movies long before she showed up on, she was in Citizen Kane, for crying out loud. She was in Dark Passage. She was in Showboat, The Magnificent Andersons. Oh, my God, Johnny Belinda. She was... Excuse me. She was in many great, great movies. And, of course, this is just Wikipedia, by the way. She died at 73 in 1974, which means she was born in 1900. Wow. She was something. She was great on Bewitched. A lot of us who were kids during that era, watching Bewitched, watching My Three Sons, watching all these what are now considered sort of classic and they were all black and white comedies on TV, but which eventually switched to color, I think. But watching them all, not realizing, us young kids, that a lot of these people were former movie stars. And, of course, that's what often happened when they, you know, when their movie careers kind of waned, a lot of them took TV jobs, Agnes Moorehead being one. And Fred McMurray of My Three Sons was, I mean, to see him in Double Indemnity and think that's the father from My Three Sons is amazing. Because, you know, he played heavies and sometimes bad guys. Now, I don't remember if Andy Griffith started, I believe he started in movies too. And if it's the one I think of, it was, let me tell you, completely the opposite of, let's see, of his TV persona. The movie I'm thinking of course, is, where is it here? A Face in the Crowd, 1957. Yeah, of course, it was before his, where he plays a folksy politician, sort of corrupted, kind of Huey Long type of character. And it gets really dark and negative. And also, he was in No Time for Sergeants. But then, of course, he becomes Mr. Sweetheart in the Andy Griffith Show. And then the show that all geezers like, and when I say geezers, I mean geezers in relation to me being a geezer, Matlock, which I don't think I've ever seen an actual episode of, by the way. So you can't accuse me of being that much of a geezer. But I noticed that it often is used as the ultimate sign of, what are we going to call it, geezerdom, geezerhood. The other sign, of course, is you like, what's her name? I'm just having a tough time today. You know, Murder, She Wrote. Golly. Murder, She Wrote. Come on, what's her name? Oh, you know who. The character is Jessica. Angela Lansbury. That's who I mean. Murder, She Wrote. Murder, She Wrote and Matlock are really considered the two geezer TV shows.
Not Kojak.
No, cool people watch Kojak. You kidding me? No, when it was, I'm talking
about that guy with the long trench coat.
Telly Savalas, man. He was cool. He was cool with his lollipop and his bald head. And, of course.
No, not that guy.
Oh.
The short one, the Italian guy with the you know, he talked twisted, kind of like.
On Kojak.
Another one of those movies, shows.
Columbo, Peter Falk.
Columbo, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now see, those weren't, you know, those were popular in their time, perhaps, but the ones I'm talking about are the ones that really, like, you can picture 2 80-year-old people, and this is not negative, sitting in a recliner watching Matlock. You know what I mean?
Right.
Hello? And then they watch Wheel of Fortune, and then they watch Murder, She Wrote. That's okay. That's okay. This is not...
Do you remember the actual chronological order of the shows?
Oh, wow. I think... Oh, you mean on TV? No, I just made that up. You kidding me?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm checking my calendar right now because I write them in.
Really?
Did you tell the truth? How often have you watched Wheel of Fortune?
In my life?
Yeah. Have you watched it?
Yeah.
Regularly ever?
I watched it when I was in trouble, and I used to sit with my mom and my aunt.
Oh, okay. That's funny. I used to watch it down at...
They watched it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a perfect excuse. Just like I said, nice, you know, older people like it. I used to watch it down at the Iron Horse.
Wow.
Drinking.
They played it on the Iron Horse?
Mm. Oh, yeah. They played it all the time. They played Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. And watched. This is when, Frank was still alive, and they still had their dollar beers. Sit there drinking dollar beers and watching TV, everybody. He'd play. And then when I think there was a channel dedicated to Westerns. So when the two shows were over, they just put on whatever Western was on TV. And Frank was a legendary character here in Hudson. And he managed to serve you without getting off his chair. And shots full bar. the stuff in the back where you put your fancier liquors and liquor, some of it, you know, this may be not true, but it seemed to have, you know, the point is you didn't go into the Iron Horse to order aged whiskeys at $20 a glass. Anyway, those were the days, folks, when you could also get dollar beers at the Motor Lodge. What was it? Did it have Hudson? What was it called? Well, Warren Street Inn. The Warren Street Inn, for those who don't know, is now Rivertown Lodge. Was completely renovated and, well, more than renovated, completely changed into a restaurant and bar. But in those days, it was more like a the type of hotel where people lived. You know, you could rent, I guess, monthly or weekly. I don't know exactly how it worked, but many people lived there. Front space was just kind of a dumpy space. And then there was a bar which had a fantastic old-fashioned shuffleboard, you know, that you play by hand. You know, those heavy metal discs that you slide down the board. The board.
Next shuffleboard.
Oh, I love that game. Love it. And that was there. And then the downside.
It's a little dry, Tom. It's a little dry.
Oh, I loved it. Not the shuffleboard with the sticks. This was, you know, this required a little more skill, I would say. But the downside to it was there were many, many cats. And this place reeked of cat piss. Now, I'll say that once you were there and started drinking, you quickly sort of forgot it. But once you walked in, boy, was that something. Whew. Boy, did it stink. Anyway.
What bar was this? This bar was low.
No, this is on Warren Street. This was the Warren Street Inn.
No.
Yeah.
You were in there? You sat in there? You had to be desperate.
Well, it was close to home.
Were you drinking then?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's why.
It was close to home.
You had a low bar.
Oh, yeah. I had a very